and welcome to the Mindset Growth Academy podcast. I'm your host, Emma Gibbs-Ung. Each show, I'm going to be using a combination of interviews with incredibly inspiring people from around the world who have achieved greatness, overcome adversity, and never given up, as well as solo episodes from me, sharing my own journey as a leading mindset coach, helping to inspire, support, and guide you to create a growth mindset so you can achieve success in all areas of your life. Are you ready to bring mindset to life and create success from the inside out? Let's go. Hello and welcome back to the Mindset Growth Academy podcast. Today's show is a solo episode with myself, and I'm talking today about managing fear. Now, the last two shows, I've spoken about fear a lot in the interviews with Gemma Wendt and Jessica Killingley, and I really wanted to spend a bit more time today elaborating on that, to talk about fear in a way that helps you to understand it, to recognize what your fear is, how you perform when you're under pressure, but more importantly, what you can do in order to manage it. Because unfortunately, fear is one thing that will never disappear fully. We can manage it in a way that makes it less intense and less dominating, but it will always be there. And it can creep up at us at any time when life throws curveballs, when you think that you've got everything sorted, you're in that flow, and suddenly your ego will suddenly present itself and fear will start to creep in. And I've seen it hold so many people back. Gemma spoke in quite a lot of detail about how it held her back, that fear of being visible, in both her personal and professional life, and the impact that that had on her career and her success. But more importantly, obviously, what she then chose to do to help manage it and overcome it. And it is really important to recognize that each of us will experience different types of fear. What's fearful for me might not be for you or for the next person, but that doesn't make it any less important or make us any stronger or any weaker than the next person. It's just a fact. Fear is something that will often be dictated and around our past experiences, our limiting beliefs, our upbringings, our culture, all of that stuff. And it will form its own fears that are personal to us. And so I want you to be aware of what those fears look like for you. The first thing that you can do to manage your fear is to be aware of how it presents itself in your life, how it presents itself when you're under pressure, the patterns that it creates when you are about to step out of your comfort zone, when you're about to be, you know, when you're facing obstacles or challenging times. Who are you and how do you work with this fear? And when you have awareness, you can manage fear so much better than if you bury your head in the sand and allow it to dominate. Because it can kill dreams, it can hold us back. I've seen people walk away from their dreams and their lifelong passions because they can't move beyond this fear. And there are so many ways that you can work towards managing it so it doesn't have to result in you not fulfilling your potential or fulfilling your lifelong dreams. Each and every one of us, as I said, will experience it at some point. People that you admire in the industry or in the public eye all experience fear. The difference is it's how they respond to that fear and what they do in that moment that sets them apart from everybody else. And so by working on the steps that I'm going to share with you today, it will give you an insight into who you are and how you can manage it so it's less intense and less dominating. You know, fear can turn up when we least expect it. It can turn up when curveballs happen within life. It can turn up when we're in flow and then all of a sudden our ego starts to present ourselves with that little niggle. But what we can do in that moment, that comeback rate, that recognition and that management will take us from letting fear control us to controlling that fear and moving forward. So I'm going to share with you five steps, and these steps will help you to manage it. It will help you to understand it, and it will help you to create a foundation, a fear resource, so it no longer presents itself in a way that is intense, dominating, restrictive. Leaving you feeling vulnerable and various other horrible emotions that we don't want to be experiencing. So step number one is that fear is just false evidence appearing real. The truth of the matter is, it's not real. Half the times, half the things that we make up in our head, these fears that we make up in our head, are just generalizations that our ego has put together. Because the truth is, we do not have the capacity to remember everything that we've ever gone through in our life. It's stored away in our subconscious mind, but consciously, we don't have that facility to have access to all of those experiences. So what we do is we almost file them away in generalization boxes of experiences that are similar to the ones that we perhaps have experienced before. So you might have a few boxes, a few files, and in that, depending on what the circumstances, what the situation was, what the outcome was, your mind, your conscious mind will filter and put it into a generalized box. And so when we are faced with experiences or fearful situations, our ego will go back to this belief of not deserving or of not being good enough. And it will bring you back to that moment. But that moment is not the same as where you are right now, because you aren't the same person that you were back then. We are always evolving, even if we aren't changing to the level that we should be. We are evolving because our society and our world evolves. So where we were when we experienced these fearful experiences or these traumatic experiences or upsetting experiences, we aren't that same person. For a start, we've come through it, so we're actually stronger than we give ourselves credit for. But we aren't that same person, but our mind is brought back to believing that we are that person, that bad things happen if we step out of our comfort zones, or that we don't deserve the success because we once lied or we once made a huge mistake and things didn't work out for us. And so this our ego starts to produce all this evidence to make us think, oh, last time I did that, it didn't work, or I made a total idiot out of myself, or I lost loads of money doing it last time and it didn't help my business. And all this amazing, wacky stuff starts to filter through. But in that rational moment, you need to remember it is false evidence appearing real. It isn't directly linked to the action that you're about to take. It's not directly linked to the goal that you are trying to achieve right now, because you aren't the same person that you were back then. You are who you are today. And when you move forward, you will be different to where you are in that moment. So please just remember, when it comes to all of this, try and rationalize, try and recognize it's your ego protecting you, which, you know, is fine, because we all need to be protected to some level. But it is false evidence. It's not true evidence. It's not a true reflection of the outcome that you want and the action that you're about to take. So try to pull yourself back. Try and get that rational mindset in and start to think about, is this my ego stepping up, or is this, you know, something that I really need to be mindful of? Step number two is making your goals or your reason for why you want to do the thing that you want to do bigger than the fear itself. And this can come in so many different forms, but when you start to get really clear on what that end goal, that outcome that you're trying to achieve looks like, and connect to why it's important, what it's going to bring to you, it will really allow you to start to see the bigger picture. So you can ask yourself, you know, what will happen if I don't do it? If I don't take this action right now, if I don't pursue this goal, this desire, this dream, if I let fear hold me back, what does that mean for that outcome? For example, one of my clients, they have the risk of losing a very big account to a competitor. And so they decided to put their ego to one side. And although they were quite new into their industry because they just started a new job, they chose to put themselves in a vulnerable position by sharing some thoughts and ideas and feedback and suggestions to their manager about what they thought should happen, because the idea of losing that account meant that they would struggle by hitting their target and hitting their bonus for the next 2 years. And so that was a non-negotiable. He didn't want to lose that account. So even though everything in him was saying, no, you're new to the business, you can't do that, they're not going to listen to you, they might think that you're too big for your boots, he chose to make the outcome bigger than that fear of that judgment. And he actually sent the email with the suggestions. They were highly received, they've been implemented, and they've made a difference to the security of that account. And that's just one of so many different examples where you need to actually think about what it is that you're trying to achieve and make it so much bigger. Make it bigger by visualizing, make it bigger by bringing in a support network that are going to help you to achieve it. But to make your goals bigger than the fear, what would it mean if you didn't do anything? What impact is that going to have on your overall happiness, on your success, on your finances, on your well-being? And if the impact of not doing it is significant, then you need to use that to push yourself to keep going, because fear is false evidence appearing real. It's your ego protecting you. So when you start to think what it is that's holding you back and what the outcomes are if you do or don't take action, then you start to see the impact that this lack of action will have on your overall outcomes. So you need to get really clear on what your goals are. You need to focus on what it is that you want to achieve. And you've heard me talk about this so many times, but in order to eliminate fear, you need to have a real clear vision of your goals, of your desired outcomes, whether that be for the week, the month, or the year. Because the more that you can connect to your goals, the easier it is to start to create that own reality, to start to bring it to life. And when you start to focus on what it is you're wanting to achieve, then the thought of what I don't want to achieve starts to filter away a little bit and becomes less intense and less dominating. So step two is really start, one, get clear on what it is that you want to achieve. Two, make your goals bigger than the fear itself. So ask yourself, what will happen if I don't take action? Ask yourself, what will happen if I do take action? What's the worst that can happen in this whole situation? Because if you take action and it doesn't work out, then you've got feedback in order to learn, grow, and develop. If it does work, then you're into a win-win situation and you learn to move forward. Your confidence is boosted, your energy levels are boosted, and you have the belief in yourself to keep going. But either way, both is an opportunity to grow. And that's what you need to see, is that this is all an opportunity to grow and to learn and to move forward on some capacity. So if it doesn't work out, then you learn from that. If it does work out, you learn from that. And once you open yourself up to learning and recognizing that that's all this all is, it's a learning opportunity, then fear becomes less intense. So make your reasons for doing something far bigger than the fear itself. Step number three, break your goals down. Now, in order to achieve your goals, whether they're the long-term or the short-term goals, you need to have set strategic steps in order to move forward and to be consistent and to show up with intention. And so if you can spend the time each month breaking your goals down and getting really clear on what it is that you want to achieve, overwhelm will reduce rapidly. You will suddenly be so aware of the things that you are required to do on a day-to-day basis that it all feels more achievable, because they're just one or two things. You have clarity, you have direction, you have focus. So all of a sudden, you're in a far stronger, more productive position in order to achieve that, because you know exactly what it is that you want to achieve. As a result of breaking them down, you're less likely to be distracted by FOMO or by mind monkeys or by, you know, the latest gadget, because you are so honed in on the fact that you need to achieve these two or one step each day or each week in order to move yourself forward. And when you're so focused on that, there is very little space for the mind monkeys to come in, because your mind is directed on the things that you want to achieve. And it's very clear on what that looks like. And so everything you're doing in that day or that week is built in around and in alignment with what that goal is and the outcome that you desire. And so it gives you a purpose every day. And when we have purpose, we feel better about ourselves, totally. We're clearer. We have a shift in our mindset and in our confidence, because suddenly there is a reason as to why we're doing the things that we're doing. And so it just allows everything to feel so much more achievable. So break it down. And if it's still feeling overwhelming, break it down some more and keep breaking it down. You want to have steps that feel good, that feel achievable, that might stretch you slightly because we need to be stretched and challenged, but not stretched in a way that's going to cause you to allow the mind monkeys in, or to procrastinate, or to feel not good enough or undeserving. So really look at your goals. Get really connected to your goals. Get intimate with your goals. Start to really see them for the small bite-sized chunks that they need to be in order to achieve them. It's amazing that we all have like 5-year goals, 10-year goals, some people 12-month goals. But the truth of the matter is they can often produce overwhelm and anxiety and procrastination and all of that stuff. So what you need to always do is work backwards. If by the end of 2019 you want to achieve this goal, then what does that look for January, February, March, April, May, and so on and so forth? Where do you need to be? How do you need to feel? And how, and also connect with, how will you know that you've got there? So when you connect to your goals and you break them down, have an idea of what that would look like to you, what it would feel like to you to have hit your goals. Who will you be connected to? What financial income will you be bringing in? How will you be feeling mentally, physically, emotionally? Really start to understand that, because if you're starting to feel these emotions, you start to monitor progress. If you're starting to notice that those emotions aren't coming in at all and fear is dominating, then you need to take a step back and review things and monitor it. And so knowing what it is that you're striving for and what it is that you're looking to achieve will help you to manage all of that. And obviously progress and regular monitoring, reflect and review sessions, all allows you to look at what's going on, what's working and what's not, and really starting to build a bigger picture. So step number 4 is remembering that you always have choice. A lot of people that I speak to seem to think that they've only got one choice a day that they're allowed to make. And some people be like, well, I made that choice, so I've got to live by it. I've got no choice. I've got no choice but to get on with it. I've got no choice but to carry on doing the job that I hate, or I've got no choice on this, that, and the other. The reality is we have choice, and we're not limited to one choice a day. We have unlimited choices. If you're not happy with the choices that you're making, choose again. If you're not happy with how fear is dominating your thought process and holding you back and causing you to question yourself and doubt yourself, then continue to choose until it feels right for you. Choose to take action, choose to connect to people, choose to reframe your mindset, choose to choose again, to keep going until you feel in alignment with what it is that you want to achieve and it feels right, it feels achievable. When you make that choice, then, and you're in alignment with it, then you have total control and you have a connection with it that will allow you to move forward. But if you make that one choice and think, well, I've made that now, so I've got to stick by it for the rest of the day or the rest of the week, it's not going to help you, because you will procrastinate, your energy levels will dip, you will feel uninspired, you'll feel unmotivated, you'll feel challenged, and you'll be blinkered. What you want to do is create this growth mindset view where everything is a learning opportunity, everything is fluid, everything is expansive, and choices are about choosing until it feels right for you, broadening that choice, opening your choices up to unlimited choices, to choices that you want to experience and you want to feel and you want to be a part of. So keep choosing until it feels right. So they're the first 4 steps. So I'm just going to summarize. Step 1 is false evidence appearing real. It's your ego. Remember, it's your ego generalizing, making you merge experiences all into this one moment, but you aren't that person anymore. You have evolved as your life has evolved, and you are stronger than you think. And so accept and almost appreciate your ego for that support, that protection, but choose to push past that. And you do that by making your goals or the reason why you want to do it bigger than the fear itself. So really think about the impact that achieving your goals will have on your life on a positive, or the impact of not achieving your goals will have on your life and your business and your success, and the impact that that will have on you. And then ask yourself the questions, you know, what will happen if I don't do it? What will happen if I do? Is it more important for me to push beyond this? Because if I push beyond this and I get the results that I want, it's going to take everything to the next level. It is going to make my life easier, healthier, happier, more successful. And then break it down. When you're clear on the goals, break it down. Break it down to really achievable bite-sized chunks, manageable on a day-to-day basis. Bring in that clarity, that direction, that focus, and have purpose on a day-to-day basis. Create that purpose for yourself, because it gives you intention, it gives you focus, it gives you energy, because you know that you're doing something that you're meant to be doing because it's in alignment with your goals. And it eliminates that space, that opportunity for fear to come in, the mind monkeys to kick in, because you're so focused and clear on what it is that you want to achieve that there is no room for that doubt. Step number four, always remember you have a choice. Choose to ignore your ego, generalizing. Choose to make your goals bigger than your fears. Choose to break your goals down. Choose to get out of your own way and take these small steps. Choose to learn from the outcomes of every action that you take. Choose to celebrate when you have a win or a light bulb moment or a breakthrough. Choose to be humble and choose to be nice to yourself when things perhaps haven't gone the way that you want to. Choose to keep going. Choose to push beyond that fear and choose to take that control back, and everything starts to come into play. Now, step number five, I wanted to talk about some of the amazing techniques that will help you to do this, because it's all well and good and you're having these ideas, but what can you do from a resource point of view that will help you to manage your fears? Gemma spoke a lot about journaling. There are so many different forms of journaling. If you're feeling fearful, write down what's going on internally. What emotions are you feeling? What thoughts are coming up in your mind that's causing you to doubt yourself? Are there any stories that are on repeat? Journal everything. Just allow your pen to flow and start to figure out what that looks like. What is going on internally that you can almost get out into the open? Because even just by doing that, you're releasing it. You're not carrying it around with you. You're not storing it in you. It's suddenly out in the open. And then when you read things back, things make a lot more sense and they become less intense to start off with. So that's one form of journaling. Another form of journaling is creating that outcome that you want and journaling what that looks like to you. What's, you know, that perfect day when you, or the perfect week when you hit the goals or you see yourself achieving things, starting almost like writing a diary of success, but it's future led. So, but it's you talking about what it is you're doing. Who are you with? How are you thinking? How are you feeling? All of the connections that you've made, and really start to bring that image, that outcome to life so you can connect to it from a mental and a physical and emotional point of view. An amazing technique that you can use if you're finding that fear is becoming really, really intense is to use the shrink it and throw away NLP technique. And that is when you have this image or this thought or this story that's going on inside of your mind that is making you doubt yourself. So it could be, I'm not good enough. I don't deserve success. I haven't got what it takes to be successful, whatever it may be. Allow yourself to be in that moment and connect to that thought and then shrink it, visually shrink it. Shrink it as small as you possibly can and push it away. And when you push it away, say, you know, I let it go, or throw it, take that image from your mind or that thought from your mind and almost throw something, your visual thought or whatever it is as an action behind you. as like, I'm no longer using this, it's no longer going to impact me, I'm throwing it behind me and keep walking forward. That is amazing. I often sort of, if I've got funny thoughts going on inside of my mind, I almost flick my forehead as if I'm pulling something out and then flick it away, as if I'm removing that negative thought and then chucking it to one side or chucking it behind me because it's not relevant and it's not needed for where I'm going when I move forward and it is a part of my past. Any of those type of techniques work really, really well. And the shrinking element of it, if you can shrink it a size of a postage stamp or even smaller and push it as far away as possible, that really does have a disassociation with it and helps you to let go of that intensity and to reduce the impact that that has on you, the control that it has on you. And if it is a particularly intense fear or thought that you experience a lot, then spend 5-10 minutes every day for at least a good week of visualizing yourself shrinking this fear. And then once you've shrunk it once, you've pushed it away, do it again and shrink it even further and push it away even further. And the same, and do this for 10 minutes a day and you will notice such a dramatic shift. It is so powerful, but it really does impact on your fear and the control that you have over that fear. Gemma spoke about tapping, which is actually emotional freedom techniques, and that really helps you to balance your energies. There are a lot of videos that you can follow on YouTube. There's an amazing EFT coach called Marie Holden who does various different scripts, but it is really good at calming your system down, balancing you out, because quite often we're emotional and fearful when we're out of balance and our system is running on a funky level rather than a consistent balance level. And so tapping really helps you to talk through the negative emotions that you're feeling. And then once you've released them, you then bring in and invite in the positive emotions and feelings that you want to experience. And you talk about it almost like an affirmation or a mantra of you creating your life. So I highly recommend that you look on YouTube. Bradley Gates, I think, is a really good guy for EFT. As I said, Marie Holden is amazing. Meditation is superb for people who struggle with fear, people who need their system calming to gather that balance, that rational way of thinking, and to have some time out. Meditation can be as little as 5 minutes to half an hour. It really doesn't matter. Even just stopping and taking 3 deep breaths in that moment will calm your system down and help you to see things slightly differently. So, you know, look at what guided meditations you can have for relaxation. Look at guided meditations for achieving success or keeping focused. I have a couple that you can download, which I'll add to the show notes today, for letting go, for the shrinking technique that I've spoken about, and also for the achieving success. But all of these will allow your mind and your body to start to balance again, start to work together rationally and calmly, and start to think about things on a deeper level as you can reconnect to your goals and you reconnect to your inner resources and that belief system that allows you to believe in yourself and to keep going. Planning and review sessions are amazing as well, or reflect and review, however you want to say it, because it gives you that opportunity to stay on top of everything, to monitor what's working and what's not, to reconnect to your goals, to why you want to achieve it, to make any necessary tweaks that will eliminate any mistakes being repeated or anything like that, and just to move forward. Because quite often, you know, if we're making the same mistakes, we're not moving forward, fear will really impact us, because it will creep in and say, what's the point? You've been doing this for ages and it's not made any difference, so why are you bothering? But by reviewing and planning and reflecting on what it is that you're doing and getting really aware of what that looks like for you, who you are under pressure, who you are at your best, it gives you the confidence to pull on these resources and allow you to get back into that state of flow, so fear is no longer dominating you. and support networks are superb. We don't have to do this on our own. When we're feeling vulnerable or overwhelmed, we can often, that's when our mind carries away with us. We can drown in our own thoughts, and there is no way out because all we have is our head and our thoughts. And so you're consumed with it all. But if you have people around you who are experiencing something similar or have experienced it and are there to offer you support and guidance, or friends and loved ones who know who you are, know you at your best, and know how to encourage you and how to point you back in that right direction because they know why you're doing it, then it just makes everything feel so much less lonely, so much more achievable. When you've got supporters around you, you're encouraged to keep going. Some people like to have that support network around them because it makes them accountable. And so instead of letting someone down, they keep going. And so they push past that fear because the thought of letting that person down, it just breaks their heart or fills them with absolute dread. Then it allows that to be bigger than the actual fear. So again, think about, you know, with that step two, what is bigger than the fear itself? I hate letting people down. I hate saying that I'm going to do something and not do it. I have, you know, I'm very accountable for my actions. And if my fear is holding me back and I have made a promise to someone to do something, then I always make that my priority because I don't want to let that person down. So I do my utmost to do it, to achieve it and push past that fear and that doubt. So really start to think about networks of people that can help you in the variety of different ways for encouragement, for accountability, to support you, to challenge you, to make sure that you remember your why, to be the best that you can be, and to keep believing in yourself. So I hope that that makes sense. You know, these five techniques are the techniques that I use whenever it comes to anything fear related. What I do with this varies each and every time I approach it because every fear is different because I am different in that moment. And what might have been fearful for me last month might not be fearful for me this month, but something else might be. And so it's being kind to yourself, recognizing that it's not a weakness to feel fear. It's perfectly natural. We all go through it. We all experience it. It does not matter who you are. We all experience fear at some level. But the more you can understand yourself, the more aware you become of who you are and what triggers your fears, the easier it is to manage it. And, you know, if you can get really consistent with breaking your goals down and getting really clear of what those goals are, then there is so much more, well, there's a higher chance of you achieving it for a start, but there's less space for the mind monkeys to come in. And that's what we want to eliminate. You know, when you're distracted and you're procrastinating and all of that stuff, you have time to allow the mind monkeys to kick in. But when you have clarity, direction, focus, and purpose, you're so clear on what it is that you need to do that your day starts with making sure that the actions that you take that day are linked with the goals that you need to achieve by the end of that day, that there is very little room for anything else to come in. And if you start small, you start to see that, you start to notice that the what ifs, the buts and the maybes aren't featuring as often as you think they are, then that gives you the opportunity to grow your confidence and build that momentum and really keep going. And that you always have choice. So I hope that this makes sense. Be kind to yourself. If there are any questions that you have regarding fear, let me know. You know, fear presents itself in so many different ways. Gemma spoke about fear of visibility. A lot of people have a fear of judgment from others. You know, fear of success, fear of failure, fear of not being good enough, of letting people down, making mistakes, whatever it may be. Recognize what your key fear is, understand it, recognize that it's false evidence that's appearing real, rationalize with yourself, and then put these plans in place to move beyond that. Because your goals, your dreams, your desires are far bigger than the fear itself. And so many people I know say it's never as bad as I thought it was going to be, whether it's presenting a massive conference or going for their dream job or going out on their first date or whatever it may be. nine times out of 10, you come away saying it was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. Remind yourself of that. Often we allow our minds to run away with us and we create all these what if scenarios, but the truth of the matter is, once you get it done, you'll feel accomplished, you'll feel proud of yourself, and you'll turn around and say, it was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. And the worst that can happen is that you learn. You learn what not to do, or you learn what to do more of. And, you know, failure doesn't exist unless you quit. Everything else is an opportunity for feedback, to learn, grow, and develop, and to use that data and that, you know, information to make you a better person, to evolve in the way that you need to evolve in order to create the outcomes that you desire. So good luck. I hope that that makes sense for you, and I look forward to seeing you in the next show. Take care. Bye for now. That's all for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you've enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes, subscribe, and leave a review. Bye for now.